From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We'd like to once again thank all our listeners for joining in again to listen to our culinary exploration of the Comox Valley in Vancouver Island. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett. And tonight we're sitting down with Hans Peter Meyer.
Hi.
How are you doing, Hans?
Hi, guys. Hi.
So
how do you introduce me? what hat am I wearing?
I think last time, I'm just trying to remember, I think we just referred to you as Bon Vivant or Man About Town, or you're Hans Peter Meyer of YQQ.
We are YQQ. So let me just do a plug about that.
Absolutely.
It relates to what you guys are doing.
Address you.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I put together this thing called We Are YQQ. I borrowed it from a project in Vancouver called We Are YVR.
Right.
They were trying to brand and promote the Vancouver tech startup scene. I am using it and want to share it with people. I want people to use it as to say, who are the talent? We are the talent and the entrepreneurs who are making YQQ, Comox Valley,
right?
What it is. You know, it isn't a big industry. It isn't anything one big thing. It's a lot of smaller things that in aggregation make this place a pretty cool place, including the kind of stuff that you guys are doing with Edible Valley and the kind of stories you guys gather. So, you know, through one of the things that happens is through the various We Are YQQ social accounts, I will promote. Like, I'm often retweeting your guys' tweets and stuff like
Absolutely,
that because I think you guys are telling the story that I think needs to be told, which is people in the food sector who are making this place special.
Right.
So We Are YQQ is all of us here in the YQQ or Comox Valley region who are doing cool stuff.
Right.
And the YQQ thing is more of it's a branding outside of here. People here already know what's happening.
Right.
Well, actually, a lot of people don't, but...
Yeah, it's actually surprising how many don't, actually.
Yeah.
So.
But I think for this place to grow, we need to also be pitching and thinking beyond our borders. So
right.
The world looks at YQQ and sees Comox Valley. If they use something like CV, they think curriculum vitae or
right.
Cowichan Valley or something like that. So
right.
So that's where that is. And in the last year, we've done a lot of stuff, including hosting a couple of food entrepreneur forums, and we've talked about that stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You know what? And I've heard a lot of great feedback. I really wish I have had a chance to make it to one, and I haven't, and solely because I work like a dog. And
really?
The rest of us are just laying around like dogs. You know?
I know. But, you know, I hear a lot of feedback from a lot of people that are going to to your events, and they're enjoying them, and they're finding it's a nice networking for themselves, and they're connecting with people that are a little bit outside of what they're doing, but they share a lot of the same interests and common goals, I think. So,
well, right. There's something. So we do a bunch of different kind of workshops, but every month we do business development workshops to help people take things bigger, you know.
Right.
So actually the next one's coming up in March. There are three food-related ones.
Oh, yeah.
Ivan's Truffles is on deck. Ivan works with you guys at Atlas.
Yeah.
And also Atlas is a sponsor of community partner of the We Are YQQ project. So Ivan is going on deck, and he'll have 45 minutes to make a pitch and get a bunch of feedback on how to take Ivan's Truffles bigger.
Are you treating it more like it's a case study and everybody there is supposed to...
I'll give you the format.
Yeah.
Because I actually I'm thinking like that you particularly with your Camo Bento, is that right?
Right, yeah. Camo Bento.
You know, if you ever want to grow it, it might be a place for you. So
right.
The format is on these business development workshops, we have two businesses on deck every night, so it's twice a month. So let's say you're on deck.
Right.
You've got 5 minutes to tell us the story of your... You get your 5 minutes to make your pitch, five or less.
Right.
You tell us your story. You tell us what you need to grow bigger. Like maybe you want to expand to a new market. Maybe you want to purchase a new cart. Whatever it is that your need is. And then you ask whoever's there at the table to help you. And the people who come to these things, they pay a nominal sum to cover some room charges and stuff. But they're there because they want to help businesses grow in the Comox Valley.
Right.
It could be like all different kinds of people. There's photographers, there's marketers, there's people who are involved in technology, there's people who are tree trimmers, there's all kinds of people, but they all are like keen to help other entrepreneurs grow. So you've got 5 minutes to make your pitch, you make your ask, and then you get 40 minutes of, and we do a little iPhone video of your pitch so you can have it for later on for reference. And then we ask you to record, because for 40 minutes you're going to get a ton of feedback from these people who are wanting to help you grow your business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so at the end of that, then we take a breather, and I'll follow up and ask you for some, like, what are your 3 to 5 key takeaways, and, you know, what do you want to do over the next 6 months kind of thing. So I'm trying to get people to think about how do they do follow-up and stuff.
Right.
We take a short break, and then the next business comes on. And so on March 7th, it's, like I said, it's Ivan's Truffles, and then the other one is a what I would call glamping technology.
Oh, yeah.
It's a guy who's turned the hot dog stick into a really cool piece of technology.
Oh, right.
That
I've seen this.
It's the fireside fork. So if you're on Twitter or hashtag, it's hashtag, or Twitter or Instagram, it's hashtag fireside fork.
Right.
And it's a cool little tool. It's a really cool little tool. And he is going to be launching a Kickstarter campaign to grow this. Right now it's for sale in Canadian Tire here or locally kind of thing, but he wants to take it big, and I think it's the kind of thing that could go really big.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So he's going to raise a bunch of money to, or wants to raise a bunch of money to make this thing, and we're going to help him.
Right.
Later on in the month, we've got a third food business coming on, a Jeremy Kerouac, who is living on Quadra Island right now, but hoping to relocate here. And this is the other thing that I like to do with the We Are YQQ project. When I get people, I want to attract people here.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are attracted here already, but I want to attract entrepreneurs here because I want to see more people growing businesses here.
Right.
I want to, you know, and the people who are attracted here because of the vibe, the culture, and that kind of stuff. So how do we make them successful here? So Jeremy's living on Quadra right now. They're looking at the Comox Valley, but his product or his service is, it's called the Good Food Project, and right now it's, I think he's got a website, and it's on Facebook, and it's on Instagram. But they are going to launch this spring. You guys have gardens?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what happens? You'll plant your first garden, right? You plant it, and you think you're done. Crop, things come ripe, and you eat them, and then you realize, I didn't plant enough. Like, 3 weeks later, and I'm running out of fennel, or it's getting, you know, whatever, right? So Jeremy's idea is to deliver vegetable starts on a regular, like, 3 to 4 weeks cycle.
Oh, wow.
So that you always have starts.
Yeah.
So last year I planted a huge garden.
Right. I think I actually remember you sort of quite often you were referencing it in your, in your posts.
What I didn't reference was that, you know, and I've grown gardens for years, and I didn't even see this coming. Like, we had tons of fennel, because I'm working with Rachel. We're really growing some stuff together, right? And she's doing Middle Eastern stuff. So we had lots of cabbage for her Middle Eastern salad and lots of fennel. And I kept saying, oh, let it get a bit bigger, let it get a bit bigger. So she would take a little bit, and then all of a sudden it was too big. It was woody, right?
Right.
So what we should have done was planted less but more often.
Right.
And then I couldn't find any.
Right.
So, like when I ran into Jeremy, it was like, wow, you're the solution to my problems.
Right?
I can have you come every 3 weeks with like a few packs of starts.
Yeah.
I just plunk them in the ground.
Yeah.
And that sounds amazing for myself.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I could look like I actually have a garden. Just come and see the dead plants, take them out, put new ones in.
Right.
They're going to have, the person delivering it is actually somebody who's a certified permaculture person or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So you can talk about soil. They can have a look. You know, there'll be a little bit of consultation built in with the delivery so they can see, oh, like you've got, you know, you need to put this in your soil or
whatever.
Well,
you don't want to see people fail at that too, right?
Like exactly.
You give them a little initiative and, you know, promote it a bit, and they can grow with it, and then they take on more and more, right? So that's a great idea.
So I'm, you know, I mean, it's kind of good timing because, so we've got, of the four businesses that are going on deck with the We Are YQQ project in March, three of them are food related. You know, one of them's a glamping tool, but still, I mean, who doesn't want a nice fireside fork to take to the beach with them? And you can cook eggs with this thing. There's a basket attachment for fish and vegetables, and there's even a popcorn attachment. It's cool.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
I saw a video of it once, and I was like, that's pretty impressive. I was like, that's in town here?
That's in Merville. I've done a couple of, so then I follow up and do interviews and help. We do promotion stuff, right? So there's like kind of a We Are YQQ promotional package that they can buy into, and So there's a bunch of us doing this. Like, it's me. I'm the yeah. face of it. But it's a bunch of businesses who want to help other businesses grow from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's fun.
I think that really sort of speaks to what we do, too. I mean, we always want to promote people. We're constantly finding people that we find could use a little leg up or a little extra help or are happy where they are or, you know, but could increase volume a little more. I don't know. We're just everybody that we talk to, we are kind of same thing, doing it because we like to see other people succeed and other people get to where they want to get to. So I don't know. I mean, it speaks right sort of in, it's right in our wheelhouse. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, why am I not involved in this? I'm like, oh yeah, because I have three businesses and I have the Edible Valley. And right. But yeah, I definitely want to hear more. I would like to attend for sure.
Well, so. You know, this month it's always from now on until the summer, it'll be the first Monday and the third Wednesday of the
okay.
month. So, okay. And then I'm hoping to take a break in July and August, and then it'll start up again in September.
Right.
And go through till we'll take a break in December.
Yeah.
But interest is growing. People,
yeah.
It's really exciting being in the rooms. Like people want to help each other grow businesses, and it's
right.
And then we usually decamp to Gladstone afterwards to right. continue the conversation.
I remember running into a group once yeah. there yeah. afterwards, and you guys, everyone seemed really positive and
oh yeah,
and full
yeah.
of energy and
that's yeah, good. That's good.
I call it like we're kind of the solution to what I think is a problem in our economy here, which is that we've done a really good job of creating a retire over the last. You know, 30 years or so, we've done since the forest industry and fishing really, you know, stopped being mm-hmm. Significant sources of revenue and wages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've created a great, what I call a 3 R's economy: retirement, recreation, and retail.
Right.
Almost none of which provide significant wages, you know.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys work in the, I don't know, but it's not an R there, but, you know, the restaurants, okay.
And, when we talked about how we moved to the Valley, he talked about how lucky we were because it was just such the beautiful, like the gem of the island. And he just nonstop just talked. I mean, meanwhile, he's in Peachland, right? He's smack dab between Penticton and Kelowna. He's everything, great weather, great. And that's actually where I got my gardening bug from, but that's neither here nor there. But it's funny because he said everybody that he knows that he worked with at the base in the 50s all planned to retire there because they were all getting posted everywhere. They were like, that's the place, that's yeah. it. And then that sort of became, when we came here in the 80s, it was full of people retiring to here. And that was sort of the changing shape of what this town was becoming. It was starting, instead of sort of booming, it was starting to quiet down a bit, even though it was growing, you know? And it's funny too, the history of the fact that I owned a nightclub for 10 years in town. And back when I first got into the game, so to speak, I had 8 competitors, and by the time that I got out, there were 2 competitors. Speaking of which, the timeliness of this is the person that took it over from me, which was 7 years ago, she's shutting the doors next week.
Yeah, I know. I just talked to her.
Yeah, and I'm like, what happened? You know? I know that we need to go into that right now, but it's just, you're right. We went from booming economy, which was happening in the 80s, to it's just slowly gotten quieter and quieter.
Well, here. Actually, we had some recession in the economy then, but
yeah.
But there were more young people here,
right.
For sure.
Right.
You know, and that's an issue for. I mean, we're straying away from local food, but it's interesting because
yes.
some of the people who we're attracting back here are the young agros, right? The
right.
young people mm-hmm. who want to like farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but. And there's a bunch of issues around that. It's like there's a lot of kind of what I would call artisanal farming, you know, but
yep.
it's nobody really wants to do farming at the scale that needs to happen to
right.
really thrive here.
A lot of people, right? Exactly. A lot of people are here because they want to do specialty products and, you know, they can do these, yeah, the small crops of specific items where they can charge a little bit more and make it worth their while, but not be so big that they have to hire on a full staff. Like, I completely get it, and I see yeah. the allure, but you're right, we still need a couple of large-scale farms, too.
Have you guys had Sandra Hamilton on here?
No.
No, we haven't.
No, because, I mean, probably the person who I think has looked hardest and deepest, most quickliest around this stuff is Sandra, because she's, you know, she... I first met her, she had this idea, which I thought was great, you know, like creating an entity that would start moving local food into institutions, right? Mm-hmm. So then you basically got, you have your market looked after. I mean, right. If you were supplying the hospital, like, wow, like what a great business opportunity, right?
Right. Yeah.
Except that what she's finding as she's trying to work with VIHA and Vancouver on growers is, there are very few growers who grow at the scale to make right. those, you know. And I'm sure you find some of that at the restaurant, even like you.
Oh, it's difficult, right?
Yeah. You know, like to get people who are going to produce however many pounds of lettuce or whatever you need throughout the season.
Right.
Lots of them most of the farmers aren't into that, or right. they're not at that scale.
Well, they get scared when you say I need 100 pounds of kale over the next month, and they're like, I do 10 pounds a week, you know. So.
Well, this was, so we had Merville Organics go on deck right. in the fall. We also had them on the food entrepreneur panel. I can't remember why they went on deck, but part of it was to try to like look at some of the problems that they were facing. But they'd solved some of the scale problem by aggregating, right? So
right.
there were like five farms working together. So between right. them, they could... They had different soil types. They had different specialties. They were
right.
they were able to cover a lot of bases, and so they were able to supply like the Tofino Chef's Guild or whatever it's called,
right?
Tug or whatever.
Arsena was talking about that a little while ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there are people trying to figure that stuff out.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, it's a big challenge. Anyway, I would encourage you to have Sandra. She's like super smart on the.
As soon as you said the name, I was like, I know I've heard that name. And then as soon as you talked about where you're. You know, I'm pretty sure she was at the Meet Your Maker event, I believe. Did she not vocalize a couple of opinions in that regard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. We'll have to talk to her for sure.
So you guys suggested we should talk about food.
Yeah.
Food trucks.
I mean,
yeah, I think we totally got off subject a little bit.
Well, it's okay. Actually, no. For me, it doesn't go off subject because for me, the food truck, I mean, I'm going to just talk a bit about my little food truck angle here.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we should start just saying is like that was part of the reason we put this together is just to have a discussion because right now the Comox Valley is looking at opening up food trucks more.
Right.
Like right now, I think you're allowed.
Well, the city of Courtney.
Just the city of Courtney. I think right now food trucks have to be on private property and can't operate for more than 15 minutes in one spot, which makes it a little difficult.
Weird.
To pull in and. Yeah. Throw sandwiches at people and then drive off.
Yeah.
So
I see. It's more or less designed to be one of those.
It's designed that
sandwich
you can
trucks.
Yeah. Sandwich trucks, and there's really you can't set up like as we've all seen on TV with food trucks and,
right.
and all
the food network has all those
food
shows.
Networks and all that kind of thing. So.
Well, Darren's got his own food cart, right? So I mean,
you
couldn't do that with that, right? You couldn't
No. No, and that's just it. I think that was the whole idea is that we were going to do a little discussion here. We were going to invite a few friends along that had a vested interest in or some people that are on the flip side of it. And unfortunately, due to various unforeseen circumstances, we didn't get everybody that had maybe all the opinions that we wanted to hear about. But we'd love to talk about this with you. I mean, I know that you were invited because you have unique stance as well. And let's...
Okay, well, but I come at this from a couple of angles. Mm-hmm. But I encourage you to have this conversation with everybody you bring in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because for the growers, it's another opportunity to sell.
Mm-hmm.
For the restaurateurs, it's always a conflict issue. And some of them have, some see it as an opportunity and some see it as conflict.
It's hard to swallow. It's hard to swallow someone standing in front of your restaurant selling food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've got all the expenses of this building and paying for all this stuff.
So you have to build, I think, you have to make it special. You have to do some things distinctive with it.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there was a guy selling hot dogs at the foot of your street, the foot of 6th Street forever, right?
Woody's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to my mind, Woody's is not taking any money out of Atlas's pocket because he's got a totally different...
Of course.
It wasn't like my choice wasn't Woody's or Atlas. It was,
I just bought
some wood.
Yeah.
I want a Weisswurst, with some sauerkraut, Where am I going to get that, right?
Right.
But what I'm looking at it from is also from years ago, I did a lot of work around land use and community planning and civic kind of land use development kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the stuff that I've seen happen and heard about in other communities that have had struggling downtowns, not unlike ours. And food trucks are not the silver bullet, but in some cases, they what they do is they can charge an atmosphere, or they can create a buzz and get people into a place.
Right.
So, you know, given the certain kind of, like, I can't imagine, although it would be interesting, you know, to have a food truck pull up outside of Atlas. Like to have a, like that has something totally different from what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
And then develop a symbiotic relationship or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, my, I last year when Manoja Gangodaj launched or was about to launch a Kickstarter to build Canada's first Sri Lankan food truck here in the Comox Valley.
Right.
I was really excited. I thought that this is a cool project. I have a lot of faith in Manoja making happen whatever she wants to make happen.
Right.
She didn't end up having to do a Kickstarter, but she did what happened with a friend of yours that you described. Was like, you know, they started as a food truck, and then they now she's got a storefront in downtown downtown Courtney.
Right.
But she still has the food truck and still takes it to the market, and it's part of that scene there. And I don't know if they still do a thing at Comox. Comox Marina's got a bit more.
Right.
There's a bit of a space there, so there's a couple things
couple
there sometimes.
Things,
yeah. Right.
But I follow this discussion, and whenever I go to Vancouver, I pay attention to this stuff. And it's the same thing. If I'm walking around the streets of Vancouver and I'm not looking for a restaurant to go to eat at, what I'm probably going to do is I'm looking for something interesting but fast. And the food trucks give me that.
Right.
Right. So, and there's also this sense of like something different happening, and it makes the street come alive. So they often park in places that are pretty dead. So all of a sudden there's kind of buzz around that.
Right.
There was a great article by a writer who I really respect in Calgary talking about the impact of food trucks on that city and just how it really made the streets more lively. And I think the bottom line for me as somebody who lives near downtown Courtney and who really cares about downtown, like, why do I care about downtown Courtney? Because it's a walkable place that feels cool.
Right.
I don't know. I like it. I grew up walking. I mean, I lived in Black Creek, and once a week we go to Courtney, and Courtney was alive.
Yeah.
And Friday nights, Courtney was like super alive because everybody was just out of camp, you know.
Yep.
And we'd all be doing our shopping. And
everyone was around.
And,
yeah.
You know, my dad was constantly meeting other loggers and stuff. And
right.
And, you know, the walk, the 3-block or 2-block walk would take forever because it was
just, right. Because you just stopped and talked to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. When Manoja started talking about food trucks, and she was, you know, vocal about lots of stuff because she was running into lots of red tape,
right?
Yeah, a lot of frustration. And I just created this thing called hashtag Food Truck Fridays because I just because Courtney's dead, right? 5:30 Friday
downtown for sure.
There's nothing. I mean, things are happening in the at the Imperial.
Right.
Square, you know, Gladstone, Gorilla.
Well, you know what? And I find Gladstone has brought life to
That corner. Exactly.
You know, like it's all of a sudden there's somewhere to go and hang out.
Well, and you know, it's not to say that Atlas is not a place to go and hang out. I mean, I love having drinks in your, your bar. Right. You got a great bar. But it's not the I'm not going downtown to do that. Whereas I will find myself just going down for a beer at Gladstone. But what if my thought was, okay, they roll the carpets up, but the streets are basically empty. What if we just invited all the food trucks from anywhere to come to Courtney on Friday, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock, everybody's shutting down.
Right.
Except they wouldn't shut down now because all of a sudden there's
reasons
people coming there.
Yeah.
For that one
for
reason.
The food truck thing, for just that, that vibe, you know. And in Vancouver, every Sunday during the summer month at the, it was at the, the Waldorf Hotel, it would be this huge gathering of food trucks. It's Sunday morning, right?
Right.
Sunday lunch or whatever. And
yeah.
People would just go there for that. I mean, I don't know. You know where the Waldorf is? At the foot of Commercial, basically?
Yeah.
There's not much there. There's this big, ugly old hotel. Yeah. And then there's a bunch of car lots and big open spaces, right? But people would go there because they wanted to see what was happening with the food truck stuff.
Right.
You know, and they might... they might grab something to eat, they would run into their friends, and then things would go from there. And to me, that's what we need to do in downtown
I
Courtney.
I feel like you're slowly turning me to your side there.
John was pretty, I wouldn't say staunch against, but John's definitely, when we've talked about it, he's definitely been in the camp of, I'm not convinced.
Right. Yeah. You know? So I think what you have to do is you have to have like rules that work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be on a level playing ground, right?
There's no level playing ground. Like, no, there isn't.
You got to try and establish something. Like, if you're bringing people downtown, like, if you're just setting up whenever you want, that's one thing. But if you're having events, that's a whole nother thing. And yeah. I think events are what really brings people together, right? And I think that's something that downtown misses out on a little bit.
Right.
I find the few events we have downtown that are, like, bring people down there, like the car show is a huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's the amount of bodies. And
that Sunday. Honestly, I don't remember what Sunday it is, but that one Sunday, it's jammed.
Yeah. And honestly, it doesn't bring that many people into the restaurant, but it brings people by the restaurant.
Yeah.
And so they see it and they.
What about Elevate? Identify. The Elevate days?
Elevate's another one where you get people in there and they're different.
What does that do for your restaurant, Elevate?
Elevate is a positive one for us, you know? It's like Market Days, too.
Mm-hmm.
You always get the Market Days is that afternoon push and then the late night rush of all the
stores. I don't think this is something that we've talked about, and I don't mean on the show. I mean in personally. I don't think we've talked about it for months, maybe even a year. But John and I did at one point talk quite a bit on what could be done to sort of spruce up or revitalize downtown. What could be, you know, and we talked about just how we thought that downtown could easily become a little food mecca. It could very easily, just by a couple of key, those empty retail spots becoming one, two, or three little restaurants could instantly change the perception of, you don't know for certain where you're going to eat, but you know you're going to go downtown, you're going to go to eat.
Exactly.
And I would love to see that happen. I think that would breathe great new life in. And if that has to happen by way of food trucks, I wouldn't say I'm for or against. I like food trucks, obviously. I've got one. I've been doing it for 3.5 years. But that doesn't make me 100% wholly like this is the answer to how to solve Courtney's problems. And that's not to say that I think Courtney has a lot of problems. I just think that in this particular instance, I would like to see a little healthy permanent competition go on instead of that. There's no real sense of responsibility. A food truck can come in. And I really don't want anybody to ever think that food trucks are running around saying, I can do whatever I want. There's no repercussions. I'm just saying that they're not necessarily worried about your local economy, especially if you're opening the doors to people from outside of here. They're just there to make a buck. And quite often you can have the old style food trucks before this sort of wave of culinary resurgence came in. You know, the old style where it was just quick food, maybe not the, you know, kind of dodgy, maybe not the healthiest, maybe whatever. And they were just like, what do I care? I'm not coming back to this spot or whatever. And I think that's a lot. I think that may be the stance of VHA, is that they were trying to weed those people out. And that's why they make it so difficult.
I think they just make it difficult, period. Okay. Like they're a bureaucracy charged with protecting our health. So the easiest way to protect our health is to not let anything happen.
Right.
Right. So,
stick their neck out.
Mm-hmm. Their job is not to stick their neck out. Their job is to make things safe. So, and that makes it hard for people who are innovating on the food side.
Absolutely.
I think, period. I think, I've been I used to go to the Renaissance Fair here back in, wasn't the Dark Ages, obviously, it was the Renaissance.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But one of the big reasons for going were the food vendors.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they didn't have carts, per se. They had tents and stuff, but it's the same thing.
Right.
I think people have been doing interesting stuff with food for a long time, and I think, to go back to the concerns about, people who have invested in the infrastructure of restaurants and stuff like that is... Mm-hmm. I want to think about our food... And this is how we do stuff on the We Are YQQ thing, okay? It's, let's not compete with each other.
Yeah.
Let's collaborate to create something bigger so that people are attracted here.
Right.
Like downtown, for example. I mean, how many of your friends regularly shop downtown? I don't need the answer, but I want you to think about it. Like, ask people. Lots of times I talk to people and they never go downtown because they think that there's no parking or... You know, they want to go to the place, like, basically, you know, we've done to this place what a lot of places have done, which is created great car destination places that make it easy to drive. And so people have left downtown.
Right.
I used to have a retail shop in downtown, and we, you know, they, while we were there, they opened up the whole Walmart thing, and we weren't competing with Walmart, but we lost customers because downtown lost customers.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So my thing is, how does downtown work collaboratively with whatever? I mean, you know, yeah, you're right. Some of these trucks have no attachment to this area, but.
Right.
But thinking bigger in my mind is to go, but they're part of a way to attract people back here,
or
people who've never even been here.
It gives us something to
So I mean, Elevate does that, you know. Elevate and the car thing probably does that. Probably brings a bunch of people who.
I mean, I could be speaking to you from being maybe not jaded, but just I'm my food cart is mostly festival based, and that's so I do mostly stuff in town. I would say I do an even keel, 50% stuff in town, 50% stuff out of town. And I guess it's just after a few years of working with a lot of these other carts, realizing that there's some that maybe have that stance. Like, I really don't care that I'm putting out a mediocre product because I don't have to see these people tomorrow. I don't care. I'm packing up. I'm driving out. I'm off to the next one.
Right.
And that was that sort of that attitude really sort of stuck in my craw. As far as food carts go and what they can offer, I absolutely. And as for entrepreneurship, you know, I like to see people that have a passion for something or are fired up about something, that are good at something, given the venue or forum to share that with people, right? And that's what, not everybody can buy a restaurant, but some people it's much easier that they can start sharing their food that they're really great at.
Yeah.
In that lower cost, which is, you know, and that I'm not speaking of myself. I'm saying more like, you know, Ceylon. I'm talking about Paul.
Bee's Knees Catering.
Yeah, Bee's Knees. He's a fantastic cook.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But I loved, like, with his, and actually I felt guilty or bad for him a little bit because when he came out, he's got a beautiful truck and he put a lot of money into it.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. And he did some amazing dishes and like really fun things. And okay, yeah, he stole a few Alice things. And
he left
solely rightly because he gave a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, he left a lot of great ideas at Atlas, too.
A lot of those Atlas ideas were Paul's ideas, you know? And so those ideas he sort of brought forth. And I felt bad when I was in Cumberland at the May Day parade when he was there. And it was one of his first things. So he'd never been out. No one knew who he was. Like, they're just, it's a white truck. But he was doing these kind of different dishes. Like, there was a Thai one and a taco. And his lineup was the shortest one compared to all the trucks that had, like, burger and french fries. Or hot dogs.
But that's part of the whole thing, is that there are people who want that food.
Oh, true enough.
And if what you're trying to do is create buzz in a downtown area, you just open it up and see what happens.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's I guess the fact you have to look at is it's festival food.
Right.
And it's a festival thing. People want to get excited about it, and they want to eat or wander around.
I don't know. I would really like to see something like that happen on a regular basis. Partly because I want to see my downtown thrive, and I think that would happen. I know when the farmers market did an evening market, was it last summer?
Right.
A couple times some of the shops stayed open because there were people downtown.
Right. Mm-hmm. It made sense.
It wasn't great for the markets per se.
Right.
You know? But it did bring people down.
Yeah.
And I think, to go back to the earlier comment about, like, we're losing our younger demographic, but we also have lots of, people my age whose kids have gone, and we've got time and money now.
Yeah.
We need places to spend our time and money.
Right.
And a lot of us have come from urban, I didn't. I came from Black Creek, but...
Right. No, absolutely. You look at a lot of that age group, they've come here from elsewhere. The amount of people that are in this industry, at least, that I've met over the years that have come from Toronto or Ontario in general, it's crazy how many just end up making their way, make that migration out this way and end up, maybe they planned on ending up in Vancouver and they just sort of... couple extra steps and ended up in the valley.
And that's how my dad ended up here.
Yeah, so many people I know there. It's just, it's crazy.
So a lot of those people already have an appreciation of urban life.
Right.
Like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. This is before your guys' time, but maybe actually it isn't. There wasn't that long ago that the statistics for people who had left, people who lived on the island, who had left the island, it was crazy how many people had never left the island.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You know? Yeah. So a lot of those people are the reason why things, and I don't like want to, no, I generalize all the time, but but you know, if you haven't experienced, if Vancouver frightens you,
yeah.
Then you're going to be frightened by, and I haven't been to New York, you know, but mm-hmm. you're going to be frightened by places like that. You're going to be frightened by, or you're going to be, you're not going to want Paris in your backyard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not going to want, you know, I mean, I have no interest in going to Mexico, but when I read about the street food in Mexico City, all of a sudden I wanted to go.
Right.
Like, that's what I want to see happen. I want people to come to downtown Courtney. There's great restaurants
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a handful of good restaurants.
Well, just,
there's a lot of... Not
how
so great
how
ones?
Far are you thinking to pull from? When you're talking about New York and then you're talking about Mexico City, you're not talking about
I'm talking about an attitude though. I'm yeah. talking about an attitude of like having an urban right. kind of place where there's a buzz and there's like this that kind of energy you get.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. we used to have in downtown Courtney very briefly on Friday nights. I mean you wouldn't yeah. believe right. what Friday night in Courtney was like in the 60s.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't quite American Graffiti, you know,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
you know, with the but every Friday night because the theater was there.
Right.
So the theater would be open until 11 o'clock or something. Mm-hmm.
So there was and a draw.
Stores would be open until 9.
Mm-hmm.
The bus depot was downtown right,
right
next to the theater.
I forgot about that.
So yeah. we'd be sitting outside the theater at 11:30 waiting for the bus, and there'd be like people driving up and down the strip with their hot cars.
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
There were little cafes that had been open that were like teenage hangouts, and you'd walk yeah. through downtown, and there'd be like the sidewalk would be packed with like teenagers hanging out smoking, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird because it was a very small place, but it definitely had, for a moment, an urban feel.
Right.
And so my thing about talking about these other places was there are people who have experienced urban environments and know that there's fun there.
Right.
That they're not necessarily scary places. They're especially they're food-rich places.
Yeah.
And we've got some good... I have to hesitate when I say we've got a great food culture here because mm. I think it's a bit of a myth around that.
We have a bit of a divide.
I think we have lots of good food stuff happening, and we could be so much better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people think it's a bustling place, but most people are working on really thin margins,
mm-hmm.
and one of my concerns is burnout.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've seen, and I'm sure you have seen, good people and good restaurants come and go because they can't find enough market. They can work their 60, 80 hours a week and they still can't make it.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So if we're going to grow a bustling foods thing here, I think we need to do something different than just having a few anchor restaurants, which we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to create more buzz because we got to have those burger and hot dog places because they're part of the scene.
Right.
And I know if I've had a couple of hot dogs, I want a beer. So I'm going to then go to
mm-hmm.
Gladstone, or I'm going to go into your place and mm-hmm. have a cocktail. Right. Right. So that's how we think what I'd like to see people look at is not as a competitive thing, but this is part of our bigger marketing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and how do we, those individual food trucks there, no one's going to come from Vancouver just because of the ferry fees.
Right.
Which is too bad. But let's say they come from Nanaimo and Campbell River or whatever,
right.
and they may not be attached to our local economy. But if they can see that once a week or once a month, they can actually be part of making some mm-hmm. money here, then
yeah.
that's good for them too.
Yeah.
And then we grow our region.
Right.
You know, like
right.
there was a food truck thing happening regularly in Parksville. I don't know do you know about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the exacts. I remember Paul DeRitter. Right. We were talking about it at one point. Yeah.
So I don't know anything about it except that it was happening and it happened for a while and maybe it's still happening. I mean, right mm-hmm. now is a down season, so I don't mm-hmm. know.
Right.
But the idea that you could go to Parksville and like hit, maybe there'd be, I don't know, 3 or 6 food trucks.
Right.
Like it's the beginning of something.
Yeah.
And if that mm-hmm. happened like at one more place on the island, like pretty soon you'd have like a food truck trail. And I mean, you would get those people who would go, oh, let's drive to Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And do that.
Well, and there's also the added bonus of like, there's a lot to do outside of the downtown core.
Yeah.
But you don't. I find the thing you can go hiking all day, mm-hmm. in the woods and through the trails, or mountain biking or skiing or all those wonderful activities that we have there. But then at nighttime, it's kind of like,
oh, I got to get some calories.
What am I going to do? I got to stock up again. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, gentlemen, for joining us tonight. I hope we've given our listeners a little bit to think about. And I would just like to thank everyone out there for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. And don't forget to send in your comments to theediblevalley@gmail.com. And continue following us at theediblevalley.com. And we'd like to also thank our supporters, our sponsors, the Atlas Cafe, Prontissima Pasta, and Ivan's Chocolate Truffles. So definitely thank you for keeping this podcast going.